Christian, greetings to each of you today, those of you that are here and those of you that are listening in from home. May God bless our worship, and I trust that our hearts may be lifted heavenward. I enjoyed that story and that lesson on the frogs. I don't watch frogs very much at all. In fact, I don't really like frogs that well. But God made extremely intricate and precise design of every creature, and you and I are made the same way with our own intricate design, and certainly we serve a great God. And so we come to you this morning in the name of God, the name of our Father, and we come to you in the name of Jesus. He's our precious Lord and Savior, and it's in His name that we worship. And recently, thinking about the name of the Lord, and I thought of it here some time ago, a few weeks ago, pondering the name of the Lord and all that the Scripture says, or some of the things that the Scripture says about the name of the Lord and the name of God. And the challenge that came to me is that in my life, if I take the name of the Lord with me, and where I am is the name of the Lord, and I honor the name of the Lord, and I tell people, I lift people to think about and influence people to think about the name of the Lord. That's a way in which His name can be in every place. And so we come in the name of Jesus. He alone is eternal. His love is unfailing. He sees and knows each one of us. His salvation saves to the uttermost. He is a rock. His ways are perfect. And He is also coming again, and He will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and He will reign over all the world. And He is coming again. Oh, yes. Jesus is coming again. I thought maybe we could sing a verse of "This World Is Not My Home." This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through.
My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
Jesus is coming again, and someday we will leave this life and go on to our eternal home. You know, when we have a sense and have a daily sense of leaving this life, going on to the realm beyond, we think about our eternal home, we think about our accountability to God, are standing before Him, it puts a lot of things in perspective in this life. It really does. And it helps us to sort those things out. And God is the one that is our rock. He is our shelter. He is our safety as we pass through this world. There's a lot of things that are uncertain today. It's a lot of things that are uncertain. And how do we as Christians find our way through uncertainties? Maybe we could ask Brother Luke and Sister Lorraine. They've lived a lot more years than I have. How do you get through the uncertain things? Uncertainties. The story is told of a little boy that was sailing on a ship that was destroyed in a fierce wind, fierce storm, and he was the only survivor. And the waves took him and washed him up on a rock. And there he was. He spent the night on this rock. He sat on that rock, and in the morning, he was spotted and he was rescued. he was sitting on that rock. And later on, someone asked him, they said, well, weren't you fearful and trembling during the night? And he said, I was trembling terribly. But he said, the rock didn't tremble at all. The rock was secure. And it brought a sense of security to him. And that's how God is to us today. Even though we tremble, even though we are a bit fearful of the uncertainties, as we look around us and as we endeavor to look down the pathway ahead, God is a rock for us. We don't function very well in times of uncertainty. At least I don't. I don't function real well in times of uncertainty. And when we don't know what's planned and we don't know what's happening and we're not sure how things are going to turn out, we become very nervous and sometimes and oftentimes a bit fearful. And you know, when the unsettled things and the unsettling things are out there somewhere in the world, they're away from us. They're out there. And the things around us seem fairly secure. We can survive with that, can't we? The world's not our home. We know that the unsettling things are out there, and they'll continue to be in the world around us. But what about when the uncertainties reach really, really close to home? They reach really, really close to us. They reach into our family, and they maybe reach into our church. There's uncertainties. And what about when they reach right down into our own soul and our own heart? And there's uncertainties. Where do we turn? Where do we find shelter? Where do we find refuge? I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 62. I'd like to just consider this passage. I'd like to read this psalm, and then I'd like to just notice some highlights of a few things here. Then we're going to look at some verses on just some promises of the refuge that God is, and then we'd like to look at a few points on finding this refuge in our lives. And verse 8 is my text verse this morning. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And you think about that thought as we read these verses. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. He is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. One of the other thoughts, and I'm not sure that I have this in my notes, and I'll just share it now, because I don't want to miss this. In verse 5, he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. It's God alone. Wait only on God. There are other things that we can wait on. There are other things that we can give attention to. There are other things that we can look to and places we can look for security and confidence and refuge. But he says, for my expectation is from him. And that word expectation means hope. It's a lot of other places in the Old Testament. This word is used quite often in the Old Testament, and very often it's translated hope. But back in Joshua, where God told them that they were to, I might have put that verse here in my notes. In Joshua chapter 2, God wanted them to take this scarlet thread. And that's that scarlet thread. This word expectation means cord or a line. That's the main Hebrew word that we have this word expectation. And I want you to think about that and how that connects to this idea of hope. There's a connection. There's actually a physical line. There's a connection. There's a thread that connects our experience, connects our lives, connects our faith that we have. And there's this line directly to God. And it's that hope we can have that's more than just wishing. It's more than just hoping things will all work out. It's a faith and a trust. And that's the thought of this word expectation, for my expectation is from him. Looking at verse 8, trust in him at all times. We need a trust in God, trust in him at all times. We can go to God in every situation. We can go with every situation and in any situation, in all situations. Trust in him at all times. Trust becomes a pattern of life. Trust becomes a lifestyle for the Christian. I believe that you've seen that. In the last several months, as you talk to people about the pandemic, you could tell that. You could tell whether people were endeavoring to put their trust in God or not. Because there are those that are very, very fearful. And there are those that are saying, you know, this is life and we're not here to stay. And you can tell whether people are putting their trust in him. It becomes a lifestyle. We don't become rattled and all frazzled to an emotional wreck when things don't quite turn out the way we expect and things don't go the way we were hoping. Lifestyle is influenced by God and our trust in him rather than affluence and culture and our status quo with others. And then he says that we're to pour out our heart before him. We'll look at this later on. But it's him again. It's not others, but it's the Lord. And then God is a refuge for us. And I want you to just think about that. Maybe I'm simplifying this too much. But this thought impressed me that God is saying here, he's saying, God is a refuge for us, Selah. And when the Old Testament saints, when the Old Testament Christians here, if you will, when they used these psalms for the playing of their music, and the instruments stopped, and they were to just think about the words. Let it sink in. God is a refuge for us. God is. He is a refuge. It doesn't say that God wants to be the refuge for us. It doesn't say that God hopes to be the refuge. And all of that is true. But God is. And so this morning I'd like you to think about God in that way that he is. He is there. He is. Whether we come to him or not doesn't change God at all. He is still that rock. He is still that sure refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. He's there for us personally. I like to just notice a few verses, and you don't need to turn to these. In fact, I think I'd like if you would just listen and think about the truths of these verses. Hebrews chapter 6, and just think about who God is. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, in other words, God confirmed his promise with his word and with an oath, it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so there's some deep truths in that those verses, and we could look at all the meaning of this thought. But God is our refuge. It's a hope set before us. It's an anchor of the soul. It's sure and it's steadfast. It's not going to move. It's an anchor that will be able to keep your life from wandering away and drifting away from God. And it entereth into that within the veil. Our sins, the condition of our soul, the place that God has for us in his family, that's all possible because Jesus is there. He's behind the veil, and our sins have been taken care of. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that is that we can be perfect so that we're lacking nothing. And so in times of uncertainty, God is saying that it's my will that you don't lack anything. Do you believe that this morning? God wants you to be in a position and a place with him and in your life, and as you go through the circumstances of life, through the experiences of everyday life, God wants you to lack nothing. Lack nothing. He's a refuge. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. It's a refuge. In Psalm 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Refuge. It's refuge. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 yet. 'But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.' Refuge. Let's look at a few thoughts yet, a few points in relation to finding refuge in the uncertainties of life. And I guess the title that I had, I don't believe I mentioned that, is Refuge in the Face of Uncertainty. Number one, God alone is a trusted refuge. And we've been looking at that. We've been looking at verses that speak of God being our refuge. In verses 1 and 2 here in this psalm, he says, "From him cometh my salvation. He alone is my rock, or he only is my rock. He is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. God alone is a trusted refuge. He only is my rock. It's him alone. David had learned that in the face of difficulty, in the face of uncertainty, David had learned to find God as his refuge. But you know, the fact is that when things were going well for David, he knew refuge. God was his refuge then as well. Commentator said this, though it is not very clear from the psalm itself on what occasion it was composed, yet it is most likely it was during the rebellion of Absalom, and perhaps at the particular time when David was obliged to flee from Jerusalem. David lived in this conviction in life. As a young man tending sheep, it was God alone who gave him power over the lion, the bear, and the great Goliath. It was God alone who showed him mercy and provided enduring strength when Saul sought his life. It was God alone who forgave after he committed sin with Bathsheba. God is like a rock, and he is solid, unmoving, unshakable, and he is large enough to hide and protect his people from danger and storm. God alone is a refuge. In Moses' song in Deuteronomy 32, he says, he is a rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. That is our God. We must go to this rock and find refuge and find safety under the rock. He alone, and he only is my rock. And I believe that this morning that this truth needs to guide us and direct us, and it needs to be our testimony. You know, when I was growing up, preachers would stand across the pulpit and they would talk about the books we read and the influence that comes through books and through reading the printed page. And they would talk about magazines and newspapers and some of the distractions that come along with that. And I preached the same thing. And today we're in a world of all kinds of influences that can come in through the technology that we have, that we each carry, that it's a personal, there's a new stream of, an additional stream of information. There's a ever-growing stream of information. And the ease by which we can get that is just continuing to become easier and easier. God alone. God alone. The world looks to friends. And we'll look at that here in just a bit. The world looks to those that seem to be their friends, people they don't even know, to give them support. God alone. And God alone also works through his people. And so it's through God, it's through the people of God that we look to. Secondly, in verse 1 he says, my soul waiteth upon God. The word waiteth means stillness and silence. Our soul is the part of us that will live on forever. It's the part that communicates with God. Romans 8 verse 6 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit assures us of our peace with God. God is a refuge, and he brings that security to us. He wants us to know that we are at peace with him. He wants us to know that it's all right. He wants us to find rest in our souls. Our soul is the part of us that worships and adores. A soul in tune with God desires inspiration, guidance, and soul nourishment from God. And you know, that comes in two ways. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, and it comes to us through the divine scriptures. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us and brings peace to our heart and to our souls. And the scriptures, as we read them, it brings nourishment. And so It's also as brothers and sisters and men and women of God and preachers of the gospel share the holy word of God and preach the holy word of God that our souls are fed and nourished. And the Holy Spirit's voice in our lives is most effective when we are quiet and still. Stillness. I came across some interesting things, some quotes. And I want you to think about this. You know, stillness and quietness, for people that don't know God, stillness and quietness and being alone is scary. Think about this. I don't necessarily know all about the life of Albert Einstein, but he said this once, that it is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely. Another man by the name of Ernest Hemingway said this, I live in a vacuum that is as lonely as a radio tube when the batteries are dead and there is no current to plug into. Think about the thread and the cord, our hope and our expectation. Jean Paul Richter, an 18th century German author and philosopher, said this, we are orphans, you and I. Every soul in this vast corpse trench of the universe is utterly alone. Marilyn Monroe made a similar observation, and she said that really, the only people who stay with me and really listen to me are the people that I hire. It's the people I pay. And she was really saying that I have no friends, alone. Compare those testimonies to this. Philip Keller said this, we are a peculiar people who somehow feel that the final measure of a person's spirituality is to be gauged by their capacity to go, go, go for God. On the contrary, our Father calls us to come apart and spend some time in solitude with Him. Anne Frank, in 1944, wrote this in her diary, the best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside somewhere where they can be quiet, alone with the heavens, nature, and God. Because only then does one feel that he is all, that all is as it should be. And when we contemplate, when we meditate on God, it's okay. It's okay, alone with God. Matthew Henry said, I am always best when alone. No place like my own study, no company like good books, and especially the book of God. Alone with God. And so, God wants us to find, in times of solitude and meditation, God wants us to find Him. And He wants us to not forsake that time together, being alone with God. Pour out our soul to Him. Pour out our soul to Him. Meditate in silence. Ponder the greatness of God, His unlimited ability to be a refuge and stability in our own personal lives. Number three, pour out your heart before Him. Pour out, to spill forth. You know, if you take this cup of water, And I would start dumping it, what would happen? We all know. It would just... Some of you are sitting here, and I can tell you're wondering what I'm going to do. I got everybody's attention. But we spill it. We pour it forth. And if I would just turn this over, it would be emptied out. There would be no ice cube in here anymore. It would be empty. It would be all out. Now, sometimes... And we know, I should say it this way, that we know that emotional stability doesn't just come from just saying everything we know, everything we think, and just spilling everything out. But God is saying here, though, He's saying pour out. It means to spill forth. Now, you know what happens when Do you know what happens when I become a little fearful about something? And I'm a little bit, I have some trepidation. You know what I do? I just am quiet about it. I tend to just block it in and worry about it. Not sure how it's going to work out. And sometimes we don't want other people to know about our fears and our anxieties. And that's all right. Not everybody has to know about your fears and anxieties. But as people of God, there's one person that needs to know, and that's God. And he's saying, pour it forth, spill it out, just empty it. And I want us to think just right now, just think about your own heart. Just right now, and think about some of the anxieties that you're carrying, some of the troubles, some of the fears. You know, there are things in life, there are uncertainties, and there are things that trouble us. And there are things that bring some fear to our hearts. We're not sure how things are going to work out. But God wants to know that, and he wants to carry us through those with those fears and those anxieties. But think about your own heart and what's there. And are you bottling that up inside, or are you able to share that and pour that out to God? God wants to bring peace and trust. He wants to be a refuge. He not only provides physical shelter under the rock, but he also provides for a secure heart and soul. And so he invites us to pour out our anxiety and our fear. The reality of uncertainties doesn't disappear, but the weight of the burden can be poured out and left with God. Peace and trust that comes in our hearts yields joy and thankfulness and praise. And it yields a heart of singing and a heart of thankfulness to God. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 23 and verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so this morning, you know, what's in your heart will only produce more of the same. So if there's fear and anxiety there, it's only going to produce more. And it's only going to multiply that. And the same is true when we pour that out to God and he brings peace and rest in our heart. And God will bring more of the same in our experience. Let's not be too proud to pour out the fear, the anxiety, the pride, the love of money, those things in our hearts that militate against finding refuge in God. God allows these times of uncertainty. He allows those to be, and wants to use them to refine us and make us stronger. And so may we allow the peace of God in our hearts. May we allow the rest in our hearts and give expression of that in song and praise to God and personal words of encouragement to others. Number four, in verse 9, he says, verse 9 through 11, he calls us to trust him at all times. Trust him at all times. He talks in verse 9 about men of low degree, their vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. And he's referring to men that do not know God, and men that do not serve God and live for God. And he's saying that, you know, whether the surrounding world, doesn't matter how they look at ungodly people. If they're men of low degree, it doesn't matter if they're men of high degree and they're looked up to. If they don't trust God, it's all vanity. He says that if you would weigh them in a balance, it's less than vanity. Be interesting to develop that word picture further. And he says in verse 10 that if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Power belongeth unto God. Trust him at all times. God alone is our rock. He is the one that is all powerful. He says in verse 11 that power belongeth unto God. And I like to simply remind us again that, you know, there's just nothing in this world that is lasting. In the last years, and I guess this has been true somewhat all through time, the Bible teaches us that money is fleeting and it takes wings and vanishes away. That's a truth for all of time. In the last years, in the last couple months, again, you know, money and our things are just, they're uncertain. And again, God is reminding us, I believe, and endeavoring to teach us that that he needs to be our refuge. He says in verse 10 that if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If they increase, set not your heart upon them. If you were able to go through the last few months and you were able to keep your job, don't set your heart upon that. Set not your heart upon them. In closing, our text verse says, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Selah. May we grow in our love for God, our leaning on him. And you know, as we as God's people grow in our dependency on God, we also grow in our love for each other and the ability that we can share with each other, we can inspire each other. We have something to give to those that are struggling and those that are weak and those that feel they need an encouragement from a brother or sister. May God be our refuge. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. God is our refuge. And may we find him that in our experience and in our life. I believe that you, along with me this morning, realize that and admit that I don't always look to God alone. Sometimes I look to my own ideas and I look to my own ingenuity and endeavor to figure things out, provide answers and solutions. And we tend to do that, but God alone is our refuge. May God bless each of you. This coming week, especially as the Lord tarries, let's remember that this world is not our home, and let's draw closer to the refuge that we find in God. Let's